Welcome to all my Late Night Mysteries listeners. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Today's episode is about a sighting by a young woman from a tertiary institution who encountered a scary sight one night while out with a group of fellow students in a study session. Stay tuned to this horror and mysterious encounter shared by our listener in this episode. I am Wraith. This is Late Night Mysteries. You are listening to Listener's Tales Edition.
Disclaimer, this is a work of fiction. Any names, characters, businesses, places, events, or incidents are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental.
For today's episode, Ani will read our listener's email. Hand over to you, Ani.
Thank you, Wraith. Sometimes we hear tales of people with spiritual companions who would protect them if there were threats to their hosts. These are entities brought down from generations, and the hosts are sometimes unaware of their spiritual companions. We cannot for certain assume that this story is about a spiritual companion, or pendamping in Malay, for that matter. But we all could learn a lesson or two about not getting distracted when you're out walking in a park in the middle of the night. This listener quotes, "Hello, Late Night Mysteries. I am Haslinda." Well, it's not her real name anyway. I recalled this incident when I was a student at a local tertiary institute in Singapore. This happened 10 years ago, and to this day, I can still remember that awfully frightening sight that affected me for many days after. To this day, I do not know if what I saw was a warning for me or just a product of my own overactive imagination. It was about 2 weeks before my final exams for that year. My classmate and also my best friend, Rina, had suggested going for some serious outdoor all-night study sessions. I was skeptical about this because where Rina and I are concerned, a study session usually ends with neither of us achieving much in terms of studying. This time, however, she insisted that we would not be distracted because we'd be joining a group of students from other classes who are known to be quite competitive and book smart. She kept insisting that we could learn a thing or two from them. I agreed. Not because Rina was so convincing, but because there was this guy, Ryan, whom I had a huge crush on, who would also be in this group. So that evening, after our respective activities around campus, we all agreed to meet at a 24-hour fast food restaurant for dinner, somewhere around Queensway, before we got down to some serious mugging. I was nervous because this would be my first close encounter with Ryan, whom I liked very much, and I was looking forward to getting to know him and getting some studying done. The four boys and three girls group welcomed us thanks to Rina's connection. I felt at home with the group as they discussed the terms work and talked about current affairs. To my dismay, I found out that one of the girls from the group, Fiza, was not being discreet about her fondness for Ryan. She was always asking him questions, pretending not to know certain things, and sitting herself closely to him. As the night wore on, I grew jealous at the sight. But of course, I tried not to show it. It was a relief when she suddenly received a phone call from her parents and had to leave when her brother came to pick her up. I was more than happy to see her go. The rest of us plodded on. A little after midnight, Rina was getting restless and announced that she wanted to take a walk around the park for a break. I stood up to join her because I did not want her to go alone. To my surprise, Ryan agreed to accompany us, saying he wanted to stretch his legs.
Listen, if we go again this year,
I let Ryan and Rina walk before me because Rina chatted nonstop about how she and I were close friends. I was too shy to talk to Ryan, so I just walked quietly behind them and scrolled through my phone. One social media post, however, grabbed my attention, and I slowed down to read its contents. The story so engrossed me that I jumped and dropped my phone when I felt a tap on my shoulder. Bending down to retrieve it, I turned and saw no one behind me. It was then that I realized how unusually quiet the place had become. Both Ryan and Rina were no longer in front of me. There was a bend on the path up ahead, and I jogged along, hoping to catch up with them. But when I turned, they were not there. I looked around me. The trees seemed to loom closer, and the lamps that guided the path seemed to dim. I looked behind me and turned cold when I saw Fisa standing under a tree, not far from me. This cannot be right. I thought she had gone home. I could not distinguish her facial expressions as she was away from the light and her hair hung around her face. But I recognized the outfit she had worn earlier. How could she be standing out here all alone? Even if she decided not to go home earlier, she would have returned to our group to continue flirting around with Ryan, wouldn't she? So, as I tried to remain calm and asked her what she was doing there, I saw her raise her left hand and point accusingly at me. My heart pounded against my chest. I turned and ran down the path towards the fast food restaurant, but I could not see its welcoming lights. My surroundings are filled with unfamiliar trees and thick undergrowth. The path seemed narrower than before. It's like I was in the middle of a forest instead of a small, quaint park in an affluent neighborhood. I heard laughter. And to my horror, saw Fiza sitting on top of a tree not far from me. Then came more laughter, around me. I looked around and to my horror, saw more figures of Visa on top of several trees. But this time, instead of her face, all I saw were horrifying, disfigured faces with fangs underneath, bloodied lips, and distorted, terrifying figures of creatures that human eyes should not see. I started running on what seemed like a narrow path and suddenly fell forward. My ears rang with Fiza's laughter, and I lay there on the ground with my eyes closed, hands over my ears, and screaming as loudly as I could. I could not remember how long I was in that position, but when I felt hands touching me, I screamed and fought them off because I was certain it was the creatures coming to get me. Somewhere in the depths of my consciousness, I heard Rina's voice calling out to me as a pair of strong hands lifted me off the ground. The relief of realizing that it was indeed Rina and Ryan in front of me was too much for me to handle. I just stood there and cried shamelessly on Rina's shoulders as she tried her best to calm me down. We were now at the edge of the park. The restaurant was at the opposite end. Ryan suggested that we exit from the park and detour along the main road, as we do not want to walk through the park again. When we arrived, I stood at the foot of the steps that led to the alfresco dining area where the rest of the group were. Rina went up to pack our things and bade goodnight to the group. I was certain she could come up with some excuse to leave early. Ryan stayed with me and asked if I would like to drink, but I just shook my head and avoided eye contact with him. I developed a high fever for several days after the incident. I told Rina about what I actually saw that night. Her theory was perhaps that Fiza had a spiritual companion who knew of my secret crush on Ryan and wanted me to be out of the picture. Of course, I did not want to believe Rina and throw accusations at Fiza, so I just told Rina to keep her theory to herself. At school, I just kept my distance from Ryan and Fiza. I knew better than to involve myself with matters not concerning my studies. Although I did not have dreams of that entity haunting me, the memory of that night and the eerie laughter was something I could not forget until this very day. As we all have moved on with our lives, I sincerely wish them well. Thank you, Late Night Mysteries, for reading this long story. I hope not to experience this again. Have a pleasant day, everyone. Goodbye. Based on Haslinda's story, we have learned a thing or two. All night study sessions can be fun with a group of friends. Apart from preventing procrastination, it provides motivation, encourages healthy discussions, and bridges the learning gaps among fellow students. We should, however, always be aware that wherever the session takes place, safety in a group should be our main priority. Personal responsibility towards ourselves and others can prevent us from encountering things that we normally would not want to see. I'm Annie. Thank you for listening. Now, let's hand over to you, Wraith.
Thank you, Annie. So guys, if you want to drop us feedback or have any stories to share, email us at latenightmysteries@gmail.com. Alternatively, you may send them to our Late Night Mysteries social media platforms on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And don't forget to follow and share our podcast on Spotify and all our social media platforms, as mentioned. Once again, I am Wraith. Thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Late Night Mysteries.